The following talk was given by Father John Hardin, July 15th through 19th, 1998, Retreat for Men. The Virtue of Charity, How to Grow in Our Love of God.
As we have been saying, there are three basic powers or virtues which the Holy Spirit gave us when we were baptized. The virtues of faith, hope, and charity. The virtue or power of charity is the virtue which enables us to love God above all things and to love our neighbor out of love for God. Being a retreat, we shall concentrate on the first of the two meanings of the virtue of charity, the love of God, and more specifically, how to grow in our love for God. And the logic we will be following is that of St. Ignatius. There are two basic principles to the love of God. First, that love should be shown in action rather than merely in words. We can keep repeating and telling God, "My Lord, I love you," and no doubt mean it. But at the heart of love is action. Secondly, true love consists in mutual sharing. Oh, how this needs to be underlined today. True love is not just loving another. It is A, loving B, and B, loving A. When we say that true love consists in mutual sharing, we mean that each wants to share with another what the one who wants to share possesses. And this is the essence of real friendship. Again, our English language is so cheapened, even the most sacred words of the human vocabulary. Friendship means mutual sharing out of love, one for the other. What one has, that one shares with another, or the other has, shares with the first. Now, two verbs that should be very clear. Surely, God loves us deeply, constantly, beyond our comprehension. And because He is God, God is loving us. Not only can, but does profoundly enrich us. Except for His love, we would not even exist. That's quite an enrichment. And He continues to manifest His love by constantly giving us everything we have, past tense, have, present tense, hope to have, into the endless reaches of eternity. We, now the verb, we by loving God, do not, because we cannot, enrich Him. However, though we cannot enrich Him by giving Him what He needs, God needs nothing. We can, in other words, please Him. So there are three verbs, to love, to enrich, and to please. God's love for us enriches us. Our love for God cannot enrich Him, but does please Him. In other words, we are to satisfy the will of God, who wants us to love Him. And watch this, not to enrich Him, but to enrich ourselves by loving Him. Now the context for this crucial meditation. First, Ignatius says, I place myself in God's presence, also in the presence of the angels and saints, who intercede for me. Then I ask for an intimate knowledge of God's many blessings to me. Notice, intimate knowledge. Love depends on faith. We shall love God only as clearly and deeply as we know how much God has, does, and will love us. Why do I ask for an intimate knowledge of God's many blessings to me, so that I will be grateful? Love builds on gratitude. Then, being grateful to God, out of gratitude will rise a deeper love of God, and thus serve God more generously. Let me go over this and hopefully make it more clear. Our reflection on God's blessings to us, which we shall look over in detail, is a groundwork that underlies our growing in the love of God. Without gratitude, there could be no love. Love builds on gratitude. Love feeds on gratitude. Love grows through gratitude. And among the decisions we should make in our retreat is to reflect daily on the blessings that God, I repeat, has given me, is giving me, and I trust He'll give me in the future. Because the clearer and deeper is my understanding of God's goodness to me, the more grateful I shall be, and consequently, a crucial adverb, consequently, the more I will love Him. Daily reflection on God's goodness to me is the nourishment of my growth in my love for Him. And then, the more deeply I love God, the more deeply I love God, more generous I will be in giving Him what He wants. And the heart of love is to please the one you love. And this is so basic, because I've said on more than one occasion, we are living in an age in which here the profoundest, most subtle error that the human mind has ever conceived has been disseminated, and like, remember, in the parable of the Soros sowed his good seed during the day, then at night an entity came along, remember, and sowed cockle. In the vocabulary of Scripture, cockle is error. Do you hear me? The root of all evil is error. And the devil, as Christ calls him, a liar from the beginning, a deceiver. That is why the world is going through the most serious crisis in its history, because of widespread dissemination of error. I'll never forget my closing lecture at the State University, at which I was on the faculty for 5 years. I was being released from my faculty at the university because I was charged, remember, with proselytizing. 7 full-time professors in the department. I was just one. By the third semester, as I've said more than once, I had most of the students. The other classrooms were empty. What I was doing is teaching the truth. And the students, most of the non-Catholic, just loved it. In the closing lecture at the university, some 3,000 students and most of the faculty, and I was asked to speak on the sanctity of human life, date 1965. And the lecture I was getting was, well, met by my pagan counterparts. A professor who lectured defending abortion, I repeat, 1965. Well, I told the students that we are to love God with our whole hearts, not because we can give God anything. You are to love God with our whole hearts because this pleases Him. And I repeat, for the first time in Christian history, there are professors in nominally Catholic colleges and universities teaching what they call process theology. God, if you wish, is in process. God is growing. God is increasing, and we provide Him with the means of becoming, this is their language, more godlike. And the chief, not just American, but world publisher in process theology, should I say it, is the Paulist Press. Not to where we were. They are speaking on how to grow in the love of God. Let's make sure we understand clearly. Our love for God gives God nothing which He needs. But God wants us to love Him because in the measure that we love Him, He will show His love for us and give us what we so desperately need. St. Ignatius, in this crucial meditation, tells us to reflect on the blessings that God has given us. Why? So by reflecting on these blessings, we might be grateful and through gratitude nourish our deeper love for God. There is, first of all, a blessing of creation. Some time ago, we were giving some lectures in Dallas, Texas. I was asked by a priest to meet the catechists, some 30 men and women, teaching in his parish. I met these catechists, spoke for about a half an hour, and then they asked questions, and I asked some too. I asked for a copy of one of the textbooks they were using in the teaching of religion. And gave me a copy of a book whose title was simply one word, God. I paged through the book to find the section on God the Creator. Guess what this book, with a bright shining imprimatur, says creation is. Creation is changing something for the better. Not one word about God having made the world out of nothing. We are first to be grateful for God creating us. I know what I'm talking about. When we have theologians write learned books, professor the Catholic, undermining the most fundamental truths of our faith, like creation. Like who undermines the meaning of creation? Like Karl Rahner. Like who? Like Thomas Merton. We can be only as grateful for God creating us as our minds understand what creation is. We are to thank God for the blessing of our redemption. Some years ago, I was told by the Holy See to organize an international home education program. I spent 4 years in Washington doing it. And having been told to organize this international association, naturally, I found people to cooperate in establishing his organization. among the people that I found recommended to me was a woman. Unbeknownst to me, without even consulting me, hired a Catholic theologian, doctorate, behind his name, who did not believe in original sin. When I found out, he called a board meeting and said we must fire this professor. The vote was 4-4. And the bishop on the board, will not mention his name, back this theologian. It is now called the International Home Education University. And one of the highest compliments I've ever been paid was by the bishop. I've told some of you. Told me up from his diocese. John, he said, you have a fixation on dogma. I thanked him. He informed the Holy See. Was told to will oppose the bishop. But that would have meant a lawsuit, which later consultation with the Vatican made me decide to withdraw the legal implications. How we need to believe in sin for which Christ redeemed us. I have again the bishop's conference issuing their learned pastoral, always our children, and stating in the clearest language possible that homosexuality is, will, a natural orientation of some people. Sure, it's a natural orientation, otherwise called original sin. It is the natural orientation of the second capital sin, otherwise known as lust. Thank God. Holy Father enters the picture. I wonder how much of the Holy Father's correction of the bishop's document will be publicized and accepted in our beloved country. We are to thank God for the blessing of our redemption. And I come back to what I'm repeating. We better understand what redemption means. We have 7 strong natural orientations called the 7 capital sins. God became man, hear it, to redeem us from sin, but hear it too. God did not restore, in the person of Christ, he did not restore the condition of our first parents before the fall, otherwise known as the gift of integrity. And we are baptized, thanks to Christ's death on the cross, we recover the state of grace. We receive the 3 basic virtues or powers by which we are speaking, but we retain a fallen state of our human nature with its 7 powerful sinful drives, called the seven capital sins. However, Christ's redemption provides us with the grace we need to master these drives. That's why we need grace. I repeat, why we need grace. To do the humanly impossible, to master our, I prefer, falling human nature. How we need God's grace, won for us by Christ's death on Calvary. Then, St. Ignatius goes on, we should recall and every day remember the special favors that God not just has, past tense, given to me, but what blessings He is giving to me now. That is why I never tire saying this. My 50th year in giving retreats, Lord, in 1 year when I gave my first retreat, I never tire telling people, if you want to grow in your love of God, you must daily reflect on the blessings that God has given you today, this morning, this afternoon, this evening. Let's be honest, and the blessings that God gives us, some will be enjoyable, some will be painful. Please, don't forget to thank God for the painful blessings you have received. These blessings on the part of God are totally gratuitous. No profit to God. But what a crucial adversity. But we will benefit from these blessings only on the measure that our minds daily reflect. And every evening I'm giving you a resolution. Before you retire at night, recall the blessings that God gave you during the day. Because, as we've said, love feeds on gratitude. I'm to go in my love for God, my mind must constantly remind my will how good God has been to me out of sheer gratitude, how generous I should be to Him. And I asked, what should I do for God in return? Now that is why we've said this prayer, I trust, many times. It is the classic prayer called in Latin Suscipe. In English, remember, take and receive. Before we close this meditation, you will reflect on the meaning of that prayer. However, if I want to grow in my love for God, I must not only reflect on the blessings that God has given to me and daily is giving to me, but Ignatius tells us I should reflect how God does not just, as it were, throw these blessings in my direction. No, God dwells in every blessing that He gives me. As I've said so often, my favorite definition of nothing is where God is absent. God is everything in creation. If he withdrew His divine presence, then everything except God would cease to exist.